Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing, every soul that He's mightily using to carry out His perfect plan. Our God is great. His mercy endures forever. He doesn't give up on His people. He has plans in place to save as many people as possible. As many people as possible. And I don't say that lightly. The things that the Lord is has instructed me to do, and you know, a strong part of my ministry, my main mission, was to share with people the importance of following God. Because when we follow God, we enter into a living plan with high purpose. And over the years, the things that He's given me to do and say, I see the strategy in it. Even the people that He chooses to do different aspects of the one work of God, there's strategy in it. Good strategy. He don't just randomly choose people to do His work. He prepares them for it. And when people don't, the only way to get to the point where He can mightily use you, you have to follow the steps. And He has to guide you into it. He has to guide you step by step. And those who obey Him and follow Him step by step, He prepared them for a work that they can mightily do. The easy part is when He anoints people, because the anointing operates beyond the normal capabilities of man. And here, that's why it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. No man on earth can originate a plan of God. If it's not revealed by Him, it's not going to work the same. You know, when I first got saved, I wanted to make a difference. I didn't necessarily want to be a preacher, but I wanted to make a difference. And so I would go and clean the church. I would pay tithes. I would attempt to learn so that, you know, one day maybe I can say something to somebody and it'll help. And anything that I could do, I wanted to do it because I love God. But the things He called me to do, I never really expected that. I didn't set out to be a minister. That was a time I didn't think I was going to ever be a minister. But when He called me, He called me. And I just said, well, if I got to do this, I'm going to do it right. And I've been going to church all my life, and I've seen people do and say things that were not biblical. And I said, man, I don't want to do something that's not biblical. Whatever I do, I want it to work. I want to do it right. And you know, my dad was a Methodist pastor, and Methodists are different than Pentecostals. When I studied the book of Acts and I read about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to know how come people didn't preach that. And he'd say, oh, that went out with the apostles. And this was my dad. I love my dad. And he walked the line. He was a good man of God. He said, he didn't say that it was wrong. He said, it doesn't take all that. And I greatly respected my dad. I knew he wasn't right in that case. And so when you study the Word of God and it's saying one thing and anybody else say something different, then I'm going to go with what's biblical, because what's biblical will work. But he was taught that. And when people are trained wrong, they'll run with it. It takes a lot more light to expose the darkness for what it is. Now, man wants things where they can get it, where they can. People like to be in control, have a sense of control of things. And, when something's wrong, they see it a different way. And if you don't seek the Lord on it, you can't go any further than that. And once you believe something, now, when he went to the seminary school, I'm sure that they were very convincing, and they didn't, and they had they used scriptures to prove their points, and just like anybody would. So he probably thought he was scriptural. And then a lot of times in those days, Pentecostal people were so caught up in the foolishness, such as the dress codes and things like that, and they didn't have much order. They'd have church all night. I mean, they had stamina, but they didn't have order. And so they frightened people away, along with the bad teaching. You know, the Azusa Street anointing, outpouring. That man earnest to pray, and that was an outpouring. Like the world hadn't seen since the days of Acts. Even the fire appeared, and the fire trucks came to put the fire out, but there was no literal fire. They saw a spiritual fire where the people had received the Holy Spirit. They came out several times, but it was just people praying in the Holy Spirit in Azusa Street in California. And this was way before my time. And I only heard people talk about it, different people talk about it. But Brother Horton said that after it happened, the people that were receiving the Holy Spirit, they were not Pentecostal people. They had just entered. They didn't know anything about the holiness and Pentecostal churches of the day. So when the outpouring happened, people that were in the holiness and Pentecostal churches went out there and told them, hey, y'all doing it wrong, and messed the whole thing up. See, if you don't build with God, you scatter people. The enemy will use any form of lack of knowledge. He doesn't care where it comes from. It's just like Israel. Israel always had enemies without and also enemies within the camp. And so does the Lord. There are people who love God sincerely, and they do things the right way, and there are people who are headstrong. And the enemy will use their lack of knowledge against the purposes of God. It's that way in every denomination, in every move of God. There are people who are just contrary. And when they teach wrong, and they're very convincing. So you know, I used to wonder how do things get to this point? And that's the reason why. When people are headstrong like that, the Lord can't teach them the same. He teach people that will listen, people that will be a student, people that are honest, people that have courage. It takes courage to make a stand and a statement. It took courage for Martin Luther to post his 95 Theses to bring people back to repentance. It took courage for me, a Methodist Christian, to receive the truth of God's word and go and believe like a Pentecostal. Now, Pentecostals and holiness Christians are not wrong in the fact that they know about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And Methodist people are not wrong for believing on the blood of Jesus. They are in the kingdom. They are brothers. In fact, the Church of God and Christ churches were once Methodist. John Wesley had them to pray. They would pray for the second blessing. And people started speaking in tongues. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost under John Wesley's ministry. And so that was a disagreement, and some stayed with the original ways, Methodist ways, and the others formed the Church of God in Christ Church, a Pentecostal church. They believed like they did in Acts on the day of Pentecost. They became Pentecostals and then holiness churches. They focused on what they did. They were more law-based type Pentecostals. And in those days, you know, women wore dresses, men wore pants, and somebody made a big deal out of it. And it caused a ruckus, a lot of problems. And it took the attention away from the real power of the Holy Spirit. But with that, those in the Pentecostal church, they did see miracles. They saw people get healed. They saw miracles happen. And the people that drew near to the Lord and operated by love, they did good. And then, but the enemy had put some poison with them. They were using parts of the law wrong. Well, you ain't a Christian if you play sports. You ain't a Christian if a woman wear pants. And they can't wear jewelry. And they can't wear no makeup. They made a law. And all that was wrong. But then, even though they had the miracles, everybody could tell that the law parts of their message was wrong, except for them. And it worked as a barrier to push people away from the heart of God's will. Now the Lord suffered because of this, because he could have advanced the kingdom if they had left the law parts out and just focused on, even Paul said, focus on prophecy and focus on order. But people can be so proud and headstrong that they don't do that. Not God's fault, not God's plan. And I heard conversations, yeah, those holiness people to take your members. And then they have church all night. That was a lady when I went to UAB, I was taking engineering. And she said, and she was cleaning up the school. And she was kind of angry. She said, baby, I could have got me an education. I wanted to. But my parents went to a holiness church and they had church all night and I never could get my lesson. And I didn't do well in school and I couldn't go to college. She said, you don't know nothing about that. She didn't know. I went to a holiness church and I knew all about what she was saying, but I didn't tell her. I let people say what's on their heart. That's how you learn. I didn't defend my position or hers. I just listened. I just listened to what they were saying. And you learn a lot more if you listen and pay attention. And then I go to the Lord, I say, you know, I see how if you touch, taste, and handle the works of men, the rudiments of the world and commandments of men, it does damage every time against the kingdom of God. And the people who suffer for it is the next generation and the current generation. Because they're trying to serve God wrong. They're trying to keep laws that he didn't even give. God don't care if a woman wears earrings and jewelry and wedding rings and wears some makeup. He don't care about that. He don't care if the women wear pants or not. And that, you know, when it was a big deal, I said, Lord, why did you put that scripture in the Bible, Deuteronomy 22 and 5? He said that was there for the homosexuals. They the ones that wanted to wear the same type garment to attract the people of the same sex. But that's not the reason women wear pants. They wear them because they're better. They can do things. They can ride bicycles. They can work. And there's nothing wrong with it. And in World War II, they started wearing them so that they could work in the factory. You can't build an airplane in a dress. And then since they had to wear dresses all the time, they didn't do much. All they did was go out to eat. Dresses are not practical. Pants are. It's not a big deal. People make a big deal out of nothing. And Satan is the one who benefited from it. I met a girl one time. Now, she used it as an excuse. She believed that women shouldn't wear pants because that's what the church drilled in her. I said, that ain't true. She said, and she backslid. I said, well, she believed it, but she just didn't. She just went back to the world. But anybody who go back to the world, they probably want to go back to. She just probably wanted to go back, but she used it as an excuse. And if you don't go in God's presence and learn some things for yourself, you're gonna miss out on some key things. And sometimes what people focus on, and they talk about you if you don't do these things, so bad that you feel like an outcast. And nobody, God didn't, if God don't make you feel like an outcast, you're not an outcast. And I just said, well, this is my position. I'm going to do everything biblical. I'm not going to try to hide what I don't do and do. If it's biblical, I'm going to do it. If it's not biblical, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to enjoy my life. Because the word of God, my relationship with God is more than food and drink and clothes, but it's joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to learn from Him. I'm going to get a real understanding of what's happening. And then then I can be resolved. I can, all my concerns, you know, I have rest in knowing the truth of God's word. And every time I learn an aspect correctly, it helps my life grow stronger. And it gives me, I gain more courage, more bravery, more faith. I can cooperate faster. All those little lingering things is a nag. It slows you down. The word says, lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets you. A false understanding is not necessarily sin, but it's like a weight, because it's an obstruction. It's a heavy load that you don't have to carry. And when the Lord called me to the ministry, I said, the things I had questions about, I said, I ain't preaching that like they preach it. I'm going to preach what God gives. If He give me that to preach, and then I'll preach it. But the things that didn't set well, He never gave me to preach. He never had me to preach it. I didn't even touch it. I didn't even taste it, and I definitely didn't handle it. I never, when I was at the Holiness Church, I started preaching in 87. I never said a woman shouldn't wear pants. I don't preach rules and regulations. I preach God's word. You know, people make doctrines out of all things. Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, and that's true. And I ain't forsaking that. But I don't put pressure on people when they don't go to church as much as me. Because I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will deal with them on those things. But I tell people, you know, I've seen when people don't go to church, they get more seated in whatever beliefs they already have. We need to be challenged. The ministry, it's a hospital. It's a place of worship. It's a college. It's a school. Local churches is more than just a gathering place. It's not an inconvenience. It's a benefit and a blessing. And when you go with the right attitude, you can learn things. You can be corrected. If you lean too far in one direction, the Lord will help balance you out with others that are filled with the Holy Ghost. If He tell you something that's hard to receive, like He do me sometimes, some things the Lord say, I say, wait a minute now. I have to, you know, some things the Lord tell me that I have to do, it make me scratch my head. So wait, and then I say, well, I got to believe it because that's what He's saying. It makes sense, but it's just something new to me. Everything God ever gave me made sense. But it was more than I expected sometime. And then somebody at church will confirm it every time. And then I ask the Lord the right questions. And I benefit from the knowledge. And And I thank God for that. And it works out. And then as long as you're in faith, God can work with you and confirm his word. And he'll confirm it through others. I receive it. I'm benefited. I'm blessed. And then I say, oh, okay. And I go forward and teach whatever it is he wants me to teach. Or make the next step. Because the steps that are necessary, he will reveal it to you. And all lies, see, a misinterpretation of God's word is never anointed. The only part of a man's message that's anointed is the things that line up with God's word. The rightly divided parts of God's word. It's the only part of a message that's anointed. And that part is strong enough to carry people. But the misinterpretations that's preached with it, it causes people to scatter from God's perfect will. And Jesus said, if you don't be with me, you scatter. All the false teaching causes harm. There's a convenience in it. There's a convenience to all deception. There's a convenience to all of it. Everything that Satan suggests, there's a convenience to it. The gospel is presented in a way where the reason people receive false information is because it takes the struggle out. If in the days of Martin Luther, when the priests would interpret the word of God, then people didn't have to study for themselves. And that's the convenience side of it. What I don't have to do instead, I can just listen to the priest and he'll bless me and I'll be all right with God. The downside is they didn't have a relationship. They weren't learning. They were learning lies. The lies were not anointed. It caused them not to grow. And we bear fruit after our kind, so the next generation will be worse. And in those days, the priests would get drunk. They went to brothels. It was just demonic. But Martin Luther was true. He understood the scriptures and he wrote it. And then he had the Bible translated in German because he was German. And he started a great revival, the Protestant movement. And others, Tyndale had the Bible interpreted in English. I think he got killed for it. Then King James had it translated into English. It's old English, but it's English. And I thank God for all the heroes of the Word of God. They had the same fight that you share. And it takes courage to make change. You can't, it doesn't take convenience. You know, some conveniences is just a lie. Now, God loves you no matter how much you study, but it benefits you. One proverb said, if you're wise for yourself. It's in your best interest to do things in a wise manner. We need to study to show ourselves approved. And that's important. We need to study to show ourselves approved and do so that we can do the work of the ministry, so that we can walk in the light and speak God's word, make choices from it. And go forward. God is progressive. God is very progressive. The word of God will take you somewhere. It will take you forward, not backwards. And when you be with Jesus, you bear more fruit. See, the problem is there are many people that will get saved, but the Lord don't have many laborers. Because a lot of laborers that's already out there are not laborers because they preach myths with the word of God. They preach false teaching along with true teaching, and God can't use them the same. With their misunderstanding, they'll create more of what they are. God has to have people that will walk according to the biblical ways of God and do what Jesus did and learn from the Holy Spirit and embrace His ways. Then they will have a more correct understanding. Then God can give them a work and anoint them to do powerful things for God, because the people that come under their ministry will be like them. The world don't know any better. They look for leadership. They don't just do what you preach. They do what they see you do, and what they hear you do. So if our lives don't line up biblically, then theirs won't either. And the Lord, He systematically taught me these things, to the point He said, "Don't teach foolish pastors." I said, "Wow." I said, "Wait a minute." And He meant it. He said, "Don't teach foolish pastors." I said, and I'm searching my own heart. I'm like, okay, now I ain't mad at nobody. He said it again, "Don't teach foolish pastors." Okay. I said, "All right." That was a guy I was going to talk to him. He said, "Don't teach foolish pastors." He kept coming up. I said, "Okay, Lord." I said, "I'm going to trust you on this, but I need you to confirm it." And it was just, I didn't tell nobody what he said. And then around that time, the Lord gave Pastor, he's a prophet too. He's not just a pastor, he's a prophet. The Lord gave him a dream one night. And it was Jesus at the synagogue. And this the one when he stood up and said, "Anybody want to learn the ways of the Father? Come and follow me in the parking lot, and I'll teach you correctly." It's like Jesus stood up in the middle of the synagogue while the man was teaching wrong and said, "Anybody want to learn of God, come and follow me. I'll teach you in the parking lot." And that was his dream. And he went to the scripture, and you know, I didn't quote the scripture, I'm just saying what he was saying. And I saw what the Lord, see, we bear fruit after our kind. What are you? What do you believe? What do you do? When you go and do God's work, whatever you're doing will be grouped together with the Word of God, and people will form their opinions based on what they see you do. So if your love walk is not strong, then the people, they'll feel like it's okay to not have a strong love walk. Some things got to be corrected in order for God to anoint you so that you can do His full potential. And it's very important. It's very important. It's time now for people to grow and go forward. Be mature. Mature people will obey God, they'll do things better, they grow stronger, and they produce people that grow and that are progressing. See, it's not personal. I didn't take the position where my dad said, I'm gonna do what he's doing. The next generation must be stronger in it. It's designed to go forward. I use what I learned from my daddy was dedication. Even though he didn't believe like I did, per se, he didn't speak against it. Now, that's one thing he didn't do, except he said those holiness preachers will take your members, because they had taken some of his members. And that was hurtful to him. You know, you do all you can for people and they leave your church. But if you don't embrace the truth in some areas, you know, people are going to go biblical. And they're right to do that. But the obnoxious parts, that, you know, that people don't need to be obnoxious. in the Holiness Church, as I remember, they can be very judgmental. And they talk about people. They say they're going to hell if they're not a Pentecostal. It just depends. All of them don't do that. But if you don't, if a person believed on Jesus Christ, his blood washed their sins away, they are in the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to say that somebody that's washed in the blood is going to hell, unless they choose to go back to the world. And even with that, God will warn them and work with them. But if they keep on going, then that's where they'll end up. They'll become lukewarm, and then they'll become stubborn, and then God will spit them out. And people deviate all the time, but that, you know, a man may fall, but that doesn't mean that he just like a baby can't walk, a baby gonna fall. He's got him. He can work with him. He'll feel bad about his sins, and God can help him. But when you get to the point that you won't repent, and you start making excuses for what you're doing, and the Holy Spirit talk to you, and you get mad, now you're on your way out. You done went back to the world, and you'll end up lost. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in the lives of those that love him and seek him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is our Lord.